Welcome back, guys. Welcome, everyone in chat. We have very special guests with us tonight, Brandon Kreitzer of Past Paranormal Network. He formed Past Family Network wanting to help his brothers and sister teams in the field, knowing that this special family, kind of like an empire, is how I would put it, would help create unity and help more clients. Welcome, Brandon.
Thank you.
How are you this evening?
I'm good.
Good. So I've listened to different interviews you've done and heard, you know, that your experiences kind of started in your 20s and then you just kind of didn't really seek anything out until about 2009 when things became more widely accepted. Is that right?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, basically, I was a director at a management consulting firm, and when my company shut their doors after the recession, as I sat on the couch on unemployment, I seen the paranormal shows on TV, and I reflected back on all the experiences that I had had throughout the years, and I kind of thought to myself, I wonder if there's something to that. And so basically, I joined a team. I went out on my first investigation, caught an awesome picture of a little boy, and caught an EVP saying, leave this place at Bachelor's Grove Cemetery, the most haunted cemetery in the United States. And from that moment on, I really became an addict.
I have to ask about the Joe Box, because I heard you talk about that, and I've never heard of it. I guess this is old school.
the Joe's Box. Basically, the Joe's Box is what really put me on the map. It's a spirit box. It was created by Joe Sciappi. Only 20-some of them were ever made. And I just happened to get a hold of one, and the results that I got using this Joe Box was absolutely incredible. It shocked a lot of people. It shocked me. But it really put me on the map. You know, unfortunately, I don't still possess that box, and unfortunately, Joe Sciappi died, I believe, 2 years ago. So I actually am in possession of another spirit box that he helped design, but I'm still testing it.
This is a newer version, not like the 7 or 11.
No, it's an older, it's called a Steve's box. Steve Hattay, I believe is his last name, and Joe Sciappi came together to build this box. I just got a hold of one this past summer because it was pretty expensive. And at this point in time, I'm testing it a little, but I don't like the speaker in it, so I'm actually going to have Adam Head, my tech, change the speaker out so that I can utilize this piece of equipment more. How I feel about it is inconclusive at this point in time.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you felt like there was, you know, where we need more research equipment-wise, because it seems like we've kind of stalled and at a dead end where kind of same old repetitive stuff.
I'm not a big equipment kind of guy. I'm old school. You know, give me a digital recorder and a Mel meter, and I'm happy. However, I will say I've been using the periscopes lately, the regular periscope and the 360 periscope, and I'm quite impressed with that. I got to witness the EDI, I believe it's called 3-in-1, and I was really impressed with that. I want one of those. And then
what does it consist of?
It has a a temperature reading. It has EMF light up, kind of like a K2, and then it also has the what do you call that thing? The phone.
Those box.
Geophone built in it. I got to see it in action. I was quite impressed with it. One of the other pieces of equipment that I'm actually going to get to see hopefully in June if I don't get a hold of one before, is the new, I think it's called the PSB-11 Spirit Box.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I've been told of that, it actually works off of two radio wavelengths. So I found that interesting, being the fact that I like spirit boxes. But other than that, I'm pretty old school.
Yeah, it's hard for me to switch to the 11 just because I've used the 7 for so long.
Oh, I've had great results with the 7.
What would you say is your most compelling piece of evidence you've ever got investigating over the years?
Ooh-ray. I mean, I've gotten so many EVPs. I got to go with the little boy that I caught on my first investigation. I mean, he is just incredible. My wife at the time was a skeptic, and the minute she said, "I see him," I knew I had something there. There's just something incredible about him. I forget which books he's in. A couple authors have used him. So I would have to go with that, but, you know, I've gotten so much evidence over the years. It's hard just to point out one as being the best because they're all great, you know. You see in this field that, you know, when someone posts good evidence, a good EVP or a good picture, everybody wants to knock it down. However, if it's mm-hmm. a good piece of evidence, that's actually a victory for all of us. And I don't know why people get jealous over that. You know, that's what excels this field. So, you know, that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah. And I saw, you know, you've got an investigation coming up in May at Bachelor's Grove. So it's almost like you're going full circle because you went into retirement, come out of retirement, and now you're going back to Bachelor's Grove, the place where you started and did your very first investigation.
Yeah, well, actually, coming out of retirement, for those who don't know, obviously I retired while Nancy, my wife, had breast cancer. And obviously she passed. So she always wanted me to return to the field, and I actually fought her the whole time and said I was never coming back. And she always said that you're meant to do good in this field. And, so I just knew it was time to come back. As for the Bachelor's Grove investigation, I have several more before that. But, yeah, I am going back to Bachelor's Grove. I have not been back. Because I live in Tennessee, I haven't been back to the Chicagoland area where I'm from in 3.5 years. So, I'm just coming in because it's a charity event. Basically, we used to do it years ago. We would do fan days at Bachelor's Grove and take people out and let them investigate with us and use our equipment. And I guess I am going back to the basics with this event. The cost of the event is people just have to donate a brand new teddy bear, which will go to Cuddles for Cancer. But you have to understand, Bachelor's Grove is my favorite location of all time. It was my Disneyland when I first got into this field. Something always happens at Bachelor's Grove. I mean, that's why it's the most haunted cemetery in the United States. You have to understand, the cemetery's in the middle of the woods. I believe it's 122 plots, and there's only 13 stones left. And in the 70s, there was satanic rituals held there. I mean, there's just so many different reports. You know, the pond next to it is rumored to be where Al Capone's gang used to dump bodies because it was far enough from the city. Now, there's every year it seems like there's rumors that the city's going to drain that pond. I will say if they ever do drain that pond, I'd like to be there.
Yeah. Now, the Cuddles for Cancer, I'm not familiar with that myself. What's the history? Like, what is it exactly?
Okay.
How did it get
started? Cuddles for Cancer is this young lady named Sydney in Florida created this charity because I believe she was 12 at the time. She watched her 8-year-old friend die of cancer, And what she wanted to do was bring cancer, children with cancer, stuffed animals, you know, because the bottom line is the stuffed animal, let's face it, their families and their brothers, their sisters, their relatives can't be there 24/7 at the hospital. So this teddy bear gives them comfort, you know, and let's face it, for children, it's like a friend, you know, and it also represents hope for them. So that's, once I found out about this charity, I mean, I knew I had to be a part of it. I actually helped design the logo for Huddles for Cancer because I just knew I needed to be a part of this. So we're going to, like I said, we're going to raise bears and some other events that I'm going to do. I'll probably be collecting more bears because I will actually see her when I attend the Paranormal Kicks Cancer in Florida, which that charity that I have supported, oh gosh, I don't know, 6 years, is for Base Camp. And basically what they do is they grant wishes for children with cancer. So what, as I said, when I attend the Paranormal Kicks Cancer, I will be able to hand these bears off to Sydney.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
That's really cool.
I'm sorry?
I said that's a really good cause.
Oh, yeah, they both are. And, you know, right now the past family is working on a fundraiser for Base Camp. So we're going to be helping, you know, when I come, I believe it's September 2nd and 3rd in Tampa, the Paranormal Kicks Cancer, I'll have something for both Base Camp and Cuddles for Cancer. So I'm really excited about that.
Okay, I have a quick question. This is just going to kind of get off of the charity thing for a second, but I had heard in the interview that you had done where you investigated pet cemeteries. Have you done any more of those? And you said that's like your favorite place to investigate as far as cemeteries go?
No way! No. No.
It
was the worst investigation. The worst investigation. Okay, basically, I have this theory about cemeteries. I'm not saying all of them are haunted and active, but I have this theory that, you know, when we use the spirit boxes, they'll sit there and they'll talk to us. But if you notice, they'll start talking amongst themselves. What that shows me, even in death, that they're social. So I believe that spirits return to the cemetery for socialization. And that's why we see these meter hits, et cetera, at these cemeteries. I'm not saying they're all active. So I was wondering, I wonder if pets come back to the cemetery. So I went to a pet cemetery and tested this theory. It was the worst investigation I've ever done in my life. We were there for eight hours, and there's only so many things you can do during that investigation. There's only so many ways you can call a cat or a dog. You really start to lose your mind after a couple hours.
And I could see you barking and meowing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a video on the Past of Tennessee fan page of us losing our minds. You know, because you can only call, here, boy, you want a cookie, so many times, or here, kiki, kiki. So, unfortunately, to conclude this theory, I had to go to a second pet cemetery and do it all over again. And the bottom line is, no, they do not go back to the pet cemetery. And no, I will never go back to another pet cemetery.
I can hope that's hilarious.
I thought it sounded kind of cool.
I mean, at the end of that video, I actually say, I can't believe I'm sitting in a cemetery with a bunch of dead cats, dogs, and birds while everybody else is enjoying their Sunday.
Okay. Also, I wanted to touch on this because I know it's really controversial. I personally don't believe in it, but what is your views on provoking at investigations and the people that do it?
I don't. I mean, I'll be the first to admit it. I've admitted it many years ago. When I first got into this field, I thought that was the way you were supposed to do it. However,
yeah.
Being from Chicago, I don't know if you remember the Paranormal Cops. It was on A&E. anyways, Ron Faviani, obviously that they're Chicago cops, was a good friend of mine, and I asked him about it, and he said, and it, if you remember him, he was just like, well, let me ask you this, Brandon. Would you talk to your grandmother that way? And from that moment on, it hit me. This is a human being. And from that point on, I stopped provoking. You know, if anything, since my retirement coming back, I'm actually a totally different investigator than I was. Not saying I was a bad investigator. I'm just much more compassionate when it comes to the spirit. I try to feel how they feel maybe, and I'm very respectful. One of the things that I won't say I jump on people when I'm investigating with them, I emphasize using the pleases and the thank yous, because this was and is a human being. You know, and especially when I'm doing a Southern investigation, I'm like, may I say something? We live in the South. If someone doesn't say please or thank you, we give them a pretty dirty look. So why aren't we using pleases and thank yous on this investigation?
Yeah, very much so.
So, but okay, no, to answer your question, no, I don't provoke. I don't endorse it. I do not support it. I think it's wrong. Our job, our responsibility isn't here to piss things off. Pardon my French. You know, we are supposed to be learning and gathering evidence. So why would we want to tick these things off? So that we can get scratched like someone on TV? I'm not going to say names.
Exactly.
Was that your posting in chat just now then?
I didn't say
names.
Nothing. I'm not in the chat room.
Oh, okay.
But
that was Kent.
You know, for those who are listening that are not investigators, some of the shows, and I'm going to be politically correct here, some of the shows that you are watching on your TV are doing it wrong. And that is how is not how 90% of us in this field work. That is entertainment purposes. We show these spirits nothing but respect and compassion. We're not looking to get scratched. We're not looking to get pushed. And we're sure as heck not looking for the portal to hell.
Yeah, definitely not. that same person drives me crazy as well.
Well, he actually approached me, oh, God, I think it was in 2011, 2012, and asked me to film on the show. And you have to understand, I had the past family I'm representing back then. It was like 150 people. How could I support and endorse a show that provokes? So I told him, I'm busy. Sorry, good luck.
Yeah.
Now, how do you feel about orbs, like the validity of them, and do you use them in with other evidence or no? You just scratch them?
No. I hate orbs.
That
you
was
know,
a quick
and,
response.
And yeah. Well, I just had this post on Facebook, and you know, some people got upset and some people didn't. I'm sorry if that orb does not have a pair of Depends on. Your grandma's a piece of dust. Quit trying to say she's an orb. It's not.
That's hilarious.
You know,
that's easy way of putting it. Your grandma's a piece of dust.
what people have to understand with all the different variations that are out there with the cameras we have, they're horrible. They self-induce orbs. I mean, they're dust, they're pollen, they're water. You know, there's better evidence we can catch out there. So, no, I am not an orb fan. I have seen thousands and thousands of orbs over the years. There are only four that have ever caused me to raise my eyebrow, but I never said it was paranormal. I just said it was different. No, I do not use orbs. No, I hate orbs. I'm a no-orb guy.
Okay, I got another controversial one, flashlight responses.
Oh, you know, it's interesting.
You know,
no, I mean, because actually,
I'm not gonna lie. I'm torn on that one, quite honestly, because I've seen some pretty amazing things. You know, matter of fact, I was on the ASAP or ASAP Entertainment LLC or whatever it is, one of the agencies I'm with, and we were doing the New Orleans event, okay? And we were doing the flashlight interaction. And
yeah, I was going to say, I think Randy does it, if I remember right. Maybe.
We had a 45-minute session. And Connie Williams, who was there, said, I had never seen anything like that, Brandon. So some people don't believe in it. You know, I've seen some pretty amazing interaction, you know, and not to mention meter hits along with it. So, you know, I'm not going to say I do it. There, I said it. I use it. Do I use it as 100% evidence? Absolutely not.
Right.
But I do use it. I'm
kind of, I think, more of a personal experience than anything.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. A personal experience. Not evidence per se, but a personal experience. I like that. That's a great response because, you know, as I put in the comments of this controversial orb thing on my wall, you know, there's many times I go into an investigation. I don't use any tools at all. I just enjoy the personal experiences.
What would you say has been your most frightening experience? Have you had anything that's just been unnerving that you've ran into investigating?
Several. And the worst one was 1 month after coming back out of retirement. I ran into an elemental, and I didn't even know what an elemental was. And I was in it's a long story, but I was in a train trestle, and it was just, we were getting some disembodied voices, footsteps, blah, 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 and we were hearing weird noises, and I just got this overwhelming sensation to get the heck out of there, and I jumped up, and there was only one way out of this train tunnel. And the girl next to me, she goes, yeah, I'm ready to go too. And I'm like, what is that at the end of the tunnel? And I shine my light down there. I'm like, shine your light down there. And all of a sudden, two eyes appeared. And I'm sitting there going, shoot, get out of here. I thought it was an animal. And I'm stomping my foot, and the thing keeps ducking like a child, ducking behind the wall and peeking. And I'm going, what the heck is that? And I ended up finding this rock. It was probably about the size of a softball. I threw it down there. It landed in front of it, and the thing just blinked at me. And I remember her going, don't leave me here. I'm like I'm going anywhere. And it scared me to death. You know, I was on another radio show, and people in the chat room were asking, how did you feel? I literally wanted to start crying at that moment. I just threw this huge rock at this thing, and it blinked it at me. If this thing comes in, I'm in trouble. So, thank God it disappeared. However, before it disappeared, it decided to take all my energy, and I ended up battling fevers for the next day and a half, to the point where I was practically praying for death. So that was one of the most scariest. That's the top of the scariest things to happen to me. The second scariest thing, I was not a paranormal investigator. I was 18 years old living in California, and I attended a Bible study because there was supposedly going to be a possessed woman. And I was like, ooh, I got to see this. And they said, don't look into her eyes. And so I did, and it was creepy. And she kept swearing like she had Tourette's, but that's not what convinced me. They had a husky dog they had put outside for the Bible study. I watched that dog trying to rip the screen door down to the point where its mouth was bleeding like Cujo. I knew this woman was possessed at that point in time. And that's probably the second scariest thing I've ever seen. Now, but, you know, I do see things that startle me on investigations. I don't lie or hide it or lie to the public. Yeah, there's things that scare me out there. I will scream like a little girl. I don't care. You know, when a shadow figure jumps out, I'll scream. I'll scream like a little girl. I will.
I might have a video like that, just saying, from Yorktown.
You know, but, you know, people ask me that all the time. Do you ever get scared? Yeah. Of course I do.
If you say you don't, then you're just full of crap, too, because everybody gets scared at it.
Oh, sure, sure. You know, and you know, it's that surprise element that really gets you. You know, I'll be sitting there and nothing's happening, and all of a sudden a periscope goes off. It kind of gives you goosebumps. Whoa, you know. Or the millimeter gets a massive hit all of a sudden, or the temperature drops almost 10 degrees. What the heck is going on, you know?
I have a question about mediumship. Do you think that everybody has got the ability and they're just not open to it, or that it needs to be nurtured and developed more?
Absolutely. I believe everybody possesses the third eye. However, since the age of 2, 3, 4, 5, we're taught not to believe in that stuff, you know, and there are a lot of people, I'm not saying everyone who claims to be a medium is a medium.
Yeah.
And yes, I do test them, but I have also seen some incredible ones. But yeah, everyone possesses it. It's almost what I call spidey senses. You know, I have spidey senses. You know, and there are ways of developing it, I guess the word is. So to answer your question, yeah, everybody has it. Everybody possesses it. It's those who choose to have the open-mindedness to believe in it and shape and form it and, I guess, practice or whatever you want to call it. So,
Brandon, I thought we could hit on your new T-shirt line that you've got coming out, and then we'll go to break, and then when we come back, I've got 5 random questions to hit you with, and then I thought we could hit on all the upcoming events that you have.
Okay. Basically, I came up with the concept of BKTs, which stands for T-shirts, obviously. As a paranormal investigator, and, you know, I've talked to a lot of people, you know, I get sick and tired of wearing my team shirt to all these events, investigations, appearances, blah, blah, blah. And you know, I wanted to be able to switch it up. Well, the only shirt I have to switch up at this point in time is Scott Grenwald's Parahorror shirt. And I came up with a lot of different shirts. And I've decided I'm going to launch this paranormal apparel line. And I'm hoping in the next few weeks, I can't say what it is, I'm going to launch the first shirt, which is really going to set the tone for this T-shirt company, the Paranormal Apparel. So it's me observing the investigators in this field, not to mention the enthusiasts in this field as well, wanting something different. And that's where I'm going with BKTs.
That'll be nice. And you're going to do hoodies, tank tops, everything?
Possibly, yeah. I mean, I can't say much at this point in time, but yes, I'm looking into everything.
Hey, let me ask this. I had heard on one of your other interviews where at one time you had talked about creating a protective jewelry line. Out of sterling silver, have you thought any more?
Let's not talk about that. No. There's a reason why. Anyone who has talked to me knows that my objective, my goal is to get this T-shirt company up and going, because what it's going to do is fund the overhead cost of what I've always wanted to do is create a jewelry line. So that is still in the works. Apparel and jewelry go hand in hand. So I'm hoping once the T-shirt company takes off, I can actually go into building this jewelry line and buying the equipment for tumbling and et cetera, et cetera. So to answer your question, I'm working on possibly a jewelry line down the future. And one of the things that you're asking about is a protective line for investigators. Yes.
Yeah. I think it's an awesome idea. I love it.
Yeah. Well, the first one's actually, I think it's 4 or 5 protections in one piece. Because I'm all about protection, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't know. I believe in protection. I believe in the power of prayer. However, I also believe in those other things as well. And one of my jobs, my responsibility is to keep my team safe when we go on investigations, which we all carry black tourmaline, the mother of all protection stones. Why not make it my responsibility to help the other investigators in this field with some protective stuff?
Yeah, that's going to go well. It's really going to do good.
It's different.
Yes.
It is.
That too.
Everything mm-hmm. I do is different, I guess. I don't know.
Well, no, I mean, it's nothing anybody's ever done before. I mean, of course, you get, you know, your wrapped stones or, you know, stuff like that. But to actually have a protective line, that is real. I mean, I'd probably buy everything you had to offer. I mean, because I'm the same way. I'm all about protection.
Right.
Oh, that really
well, you know, everything that I do tends to be a little different. Now, I will say this, and I do have a huge, huge announcement tomorrow morning. This I am extremely nervous about because it has never been attempted, and I'm nervous. But it's for charity, so... that's all I can say about it at this point in time, but it's going to be huge. It's never been done before. It's never been seen before. The only other hint I'll give, it's a chance of a lifetime. And if it goes well, I may do a couple more. So that's all I can say about it. But tomorrow morning, stay tuned. Big announcement.
Oh, no, that's a big teaser. Big teaser.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to go to break and leave everybody thinking about that, and we'll be back in 4.5 minutes. We're going to play some Sean Austin.
Ooh.
Never thought I'd see it. The end of the deep inner search, like a picture taken in my mind, as if I was already with you in a lovely blur. Giving light on would never give way. It's what
welcome to Beyond the Veil. If you're just now joining us, we have Paranormal Road Warrior, Brandon Kreitzer, with us. Brandon, I thought we would skip the questions and do that at the end if we have time and jump into your breast cancer goal that you have set up. I saw that announcement. $30,000, it's a pretty big goal that you have set up.
Yeah, breast cancer is obviously my number one charity. So I've vowed my commitment to the cause to try to raise $30,000 by 2019. Because the bottom line is, breast cancer is the biggest killer, cancer killer of women. And many people don't realize that. They think lung cancer, but it's actually breast cancer. You know, 1 in 8 will die from it. So, breast cancer is extremely important to me, obviously, because my wife died from it. And I've been thrown into the breast cancer spokesman role, I suppose, is the word. So I have a bunch of things that I'm going to be doing for breast cancer, and this was the big one, and to really commit myself to this. So I'm going to be pushing this fundraiser for the next couple of years, 3 years, and try to raise basically $10,000 a year.
Well, and I think what a lot of people don't realize, just being a nurse for me, is how men get breast cancer. And, I mean, it's not as high as women, but, I mean, there's like 2,600 cases expected this year of men with breast, and 450 will die. I mean, still too many.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, a lot of people don't think it's their problem, but with the growing number of women getting breast cancer, it becomes our problems as husbands, brothers, sons. You know, it's our responsibility to step up. And I've admitted many times, I was just as guilty as everybody else. I turned and looked the other way until it finally hit me. And now it's extremely important to me, and it's not just breast cancer, but this fundraiser is for breast cancer, obviously, $30,000. I'm trying to raise $3,000 to $6,000 for base camp for the kids with cancer. I'm not right in front of my computer. The United Journey of Hope. It's another cancer society. That's Chris Dedman's event up in Ohio in June. What a lot of people don't realize is, 1 in 3 people in this world are affected by cancer in some way, shape, or form. And so the days of looking the other way are over. When I spoke at the Paranormal Kicks Cancer back in October, I gave them a graph. I really put this in a perspective that they could understand. It was like 17.9 million people this year will be diagnosed with some form or shape or some kind of cancer, and it's 7.8 million that will die from cancer. So what I told them, I said, your population's only 19,000 here in Florida. Imagine everyone getting cancer and only a couple thousand people being healthy. And not to mention the city we're in only has 30,000 people in it. So, that really hit home for a lot of them. And, and not to mention, you take the 7.9 or 7.8 million that are going to die. That's almost half your population just in that state. That's a lot of people. It's time for people to wake up, I guess, is the word. Cancer ain't going anywhere. She's getting bigger and stronger. She's mean. She's vicious. She don't care who you are. And she don't care if you're a kid, you're a woman, a man, It bugs me a lot. Cancer bugs me a lot. And till the day I die.
And I want to point out, though, you're with your thing that you're raising, 100% of the proceeds go to cancer research.
Absolutely.
Or the,
yes.
I mean, because there's so many, so much shady shit going on these days. But
no,
I mean,
no, I'm actually, what I'm going to do is, every time I screenshot the donation, I'm going to post it, the show, because it keeps track how much has been donated. So you'll be able to compare what it's showing and what I'm donating throughout the whole time. So, no, there's not going to be shadiness. That's just wrong. And you know, I'm a Christian man.
I don't know if you saw that Wounded Warrior stuff lately, and they just that just sickens me.
I'm not really familiar with that. I'm sorry.
Oh,
the
Wounded Warrior Project
is a military. Sorry, Lisa.
Mm-hmm. No,
the
you're
Wounded
good.
Warrior Program is military, and it's for our veterans that have been wounded while serving the country. It's a program that donations come into them, and they, you know, send out medical help and do what they can for our veterans where the VA falls short of doing. And the CEO and the CEO of the company have been getting a whole lot of the money for themselves, and it hasn't been going to the veterans like it should.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm not familiar with that, but you know, that thought crossed my mind, and I was just like, you know what? I'll just take side by sides and show people each time I submit the donation to breastcancer.org that it coincides with the actual money that was raised.
Okay, I want to ask you this. Do you contend with the name as the Paranormal Road Warrior? How did you get mm-hmm. how did you come about getting that name?
Basically, you know, I needed a stage name, and somebody came up with it because of everything that I've gone through. You know, I've done so much in this field in a matter of 6 years. You know, I've created the Past Family, you know, a network of right now 77 teams and independents across the country helping clients. I created PTVM, which ended up becoming one of the largest online networks, and then dealing with Nancy's cancer and everything, people just said that I was a road warrior and everything that I've endured and gone through, and it just kind of stuck and it made sense, and so that's how I got the nickname. And plus, you know, the Godfather of Paranormal was taken, so
okay. We have 15 minutes left in the show, and so I wanted to take more time out to talk about your upcoming events because of how important they are to the paranormal world, plus for the cancer, for the cancer charity. So could you tell us everything you've got coming up, like, the next 6 months? Because I know you've got I've seen on Facebook you have a lot coming up.
Oh, yeah, and there's still tons being worked on. The first one, April 29th and 30th, down in Jasper, Florida. We are going to hunt a haunted school and the haunted schoolhouse and the Jasper Jail. Plus, you will be fed for $65. You can't beat that. The next event, obviously, is the Bachelor's Grove Cemetery. That's in May. As I said, you know, people attending will donate bears for Cuddles for Cancer. And that's up in the Chicagoland area. Then June 4th is the OSPH Code Red public hunt at Old South Pittsburgh Hospital here in Tennessee. From there, I go to Chris Dedman's event, the Lockdown 2016 at the Ohio State Prison. And the proceeds go to the Unity, a Journey of Hope org. From there, July 9th, I am hosting with Black Pearl an orphanage fundraiser at Posttown Elementary School in Ohio. and all the proceeds will go to the Sunrise Children's Home. And then for ASAT, who also represents me, I'll be doing the Malvern Manor up in Iowa, July 15th. From there, I am next going to the PIA conference in Sebring, Florida. From there, I'm trying to remember everything. There's so many. September 2nd and 3rd will be the Paranormal Kicks Cancer. Then I believe September 10th, I'll be doing an appearance for a children's cancer hospital in Indiana. I know I'm forgetting stuff. Another fundraiser is coming up in October 1st is the first annual Nancy Kreitzer Davison Hunt for the Pink, my wife. This will be an annual event each year during Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and all the proceeds will go to breast cancer. It will be at the Crown Point Jail, the famous jail where John Dillinger actually escaped from. Very cool place. I've been there. Then I have another fundraiser I can't let out of the bag yet in October. I think that's everything. I don't know. There's so many still pending.
Well, I hope people are taking notes. What website can people go to find the details of all this, your different events coming up? And see.
The best way is to go to the Phoenix Rising Productions/Talent Agency fan page on Facebook, or you can go to my public page, the Brandon Kreitzer Road Warrior, Paranormal Road Warrior fan page, and things that are announced will constantly be being posted up there. I mean, there's a lot more still to come. I've just begun.
Oh, yes.
This year, if I counted correctly, I'm involved in six charity events right at the moment. Seven charity events. So, this is the year of giving back.
Yeah.
You know, the field.
And reclaiming
the field,
that name of yours.
the field has graciously welcomed me back. So now it's time to give back.
Absolutely. Well, I've got five questions for you. I pick random questions that are kind of personal so people can get to know you. Okay, you ready for your five questions before we go out with the music?
Okay.
Okay. Greatest weakness?
I'd have to say the love that I have for everything.
Greatest strength on the opposite end. Oh, are you still thinking on weakness?
My greatest
weakness?
Or you're
going with the love?
My greatest weakness is I'm my own worst enemy. I beat myself up. Greatest strength, I would say my heart, the love that I have for mankind.
Okay. Now, this one can be before or after Nancy, just meant to be funny. Worst dating experience ever? Do you have one?
Worst dating experience?
You have one.
You
don't
have any?
Have one.
I know. You don't have something hilarious for us.
Come on, I've got some bad ones.
No, I'm
Chris
such
is like,
a,
I've got
haven't
you,
haven't,
you.
Haven't you realized I'm such a perfectionist? That I make sure everything's perfect. I can't think of it's been a long time since I've dated. I can't think of a
horror story.
the only thing that's happened recently, I went to go flirt with someone on Facebook and they were dead silent. And all I could say was, how was those GOP debates? You know, I didn't know what to say. So.
All right, biggest pet peeve.
Biggest pet peeve is I'm a man of my word. When I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. I cannot stand people that say one thing and do not follow through, or they come up with a million excuses. Why not?
Yeah. All right, final question. Sounds like you're on Jeopardy. Okay, so what three, if you're stranded on an island, obviously you don't get a damn boat. What three items would you want?
I'm stranded on an island? What kind of island? Because I don't know if I should say food and water.
Yeah, it's secluded. There's not anything there.
Oh, so it's just a piece of sand?
Sure.
I would want food, water.
Green is going to make this difficult. He's like, what are the dimensions of the island?
I love Survivor, so I have to think that way. What's going to help me to survive? So I would go with food and water and a Bible.
So would you be on Survivor ever?
Oh, yeah, I would love to. I've always said I'd love to go on that show. I'm a strategist.
That's awesome. Well, it's been great talking to you. Unfortunately, we're coming up on the hour, so we're going to go ahead and wrap. But y'all stay, come back. This next Sunday, I'm going to be out of town for Glen Rose has a Perry Unity Festival. If you haven't heard about it, you should check it out. And we'll be back the following week. And Brandon, thank you again for coming on. It's been awesome.
Well, thank you for having me. You know, the one thing I like to say before I leave any radio interview, we live in a busy world. Take time to stop and look at all those that need help or are looking for help.
That's very good.
Absolutely. Couldn't say it better. All right, I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you.
I'm a ghost with